The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Tradition gives us the name of these three visitors from the east. They're known as Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Some have referred to them as wise men, philosophers. Others have said they've been kings. Others, there are scientists and astronomers. And the fact of the matter is, God chose to show himself to them in a way that they were able to see and able to discern. And that makes them truly wise, whatever their occupation might have been, a king, a scientist, a philosopher. They were wise because they picked up on what the Lord had to say, they understood it, they followed it, and it changed them. They passed it on. And so as we celebrate tonight the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been made known to all the nations, we might want to ask ourselves, what did these three wise men have and use that might be useful for us in our daily life? Because the fact of the matter is, as human beings, all of us are on a journey from the birth in this life, hopefully to birth in everlasting life in heaven. How do we get there? Well, the wise men show us the way. First thing that these wise men taught in the scripture tonight was they were paying attention to what's going on in the world. They noticed, they watched the skies, they watched the earth, they watched Mother Nature, they saw all these things going on, and they noticed a star, one that either hadn't been there before that's there now, or a star that was there before and's a lot brighter now. And they thought among themselves, this is something different. There is something about this sign that we're trying to see. Because we recognize in the depths of our heart there are certain questions that need to be answered. And they're not answered by stuff. They're answered by God. All the old basics. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is all this life about? Am I the ultimate authority, or is there something greater than me? All those questions come in and out, and we see ourselves acting on them various ways. And these wise men decided to say the first step in answering those questions is paying attention to the world. Because if you look at the world, and you look at other people, and you look at yourself, you're bound to learn something. The people often that don't learn, like Herod and the chief priests and the scribes, were the ones that were so self-involved and self-absorbed in whatever politics or situation they were in that they missed the whole forest because of looking at a couple stupid trees. Well, for Herod, it was, how do I stay in power? How do I keep my grip on this position as king of Judea, even though I'm not a Jew? How do I hold on to this? Who do I have to kill? Who do I have to bribe? What do I have to do all that? And so he's involved in all this political chicanery. So of course he missed the fact of what God was trying to tell him. And because the scribes and Pharisees were busy probably trying to keep their jobs and stay alive because of what Herod was doing, they weren't paying attention either. That's why God came to a bunch of shepherds. They got nothing to lose except a few sheep. And so the wise men paid attention, and they recognized that in this event, God is telling us something through the world he created and through other people he created. They picked up on that and said, there is something that's going on that is much, much bigger than me. And so they set out on the trip to find out what it was. And in the process of that, they took their human understanding and their intellect and recognized that usually great events, great stellar events like stars, usually mark the coming of a new ruler, of a new age of grace, a new time of peace. And so they assumed that with this celestial event, something big was coming. And somewhere along the way, they heard about this king of the Jews that the Jews had been waiting for. That brings us to the second point of being wise. Once you pay attention to stuff that's going on in the world, the second point is that you recognize that no matter what is going on in the world, it has an effect on you. We're all connected with each other. And for us to say, well, that's their problem, not mine, we're missing the point. That because we're all connected as human beings, because we all share the same human nature, we are our brother and sister's keeper. That's how God created it. So we recognize that what I do, good or evil, affects others. And what others do, good or evil, affects me. And if we do nothing in the process of just sitting back and letting things happen, instead of making choices to do something, that also affects us. Because if you're a wise man and you heard about this king of the Jews, you say, I'm no Jew, I'm from the East, I'm from Persia, and we have our own religion and our own gods. What does this have to do with me? But in their wisdom, they said, if a king is appearing, then that king may have some impact on my life. That king may have something to say to me, because kings at this time are also seen as sources of wisdom and knowledge, not just power and strength. But they were seen as people of a vision. And so they're setting out now, recognizing that this Messiah, this Son of God, this King of the Jews, may have something to say to them, even if they're not of that religion. And so they saw that they're connected. Now the next point, and this is something that for us seems to be obvious, but it always does seem a little bit funny. And that is, the most important thing that these three wise men did was not look around and not recognize their connections. The most important thing is, when they got lost or when they didn't know where to go, they asked for directions. Some say, boy, I tell you, that's a woman's definition of a wise man. He asks for directions. I'm not keen on doing that. I'll be driving along. Oh, I'll hit it sooner or later. I'm on the road and it's on. And even if I've passed it five times and I'm through the city limits, well, it'll come back around sometime. We don't think, you know, and even GPSs, those don't know what they're talking about. I got a map in my head. I know exactly where I'm going. I might be the only one that's ever done that. But I have a feeling it's also a problem with a lot of males. We don't ask for directions because we all know where we're going. So we think. That's our delusion, you know. We're all our own we're all our own GPS systems. You put us in the car, we know exactly where to go. Well, people might want to tell us where to go, but it doesn't mean we're going to go in the place that we're supposed to. And so these kings recognize what? All of a sudden, they have reached the limit of their human knowledge. They've taken all their knowledge, all their expertise, all their science, and they said, we can go no farther. So we must go to this place of the Jews and ask the Jews themselves. They knew who to ask for advice. They knew who to ask for direction. They were smart about that. You know, it's like us. If we have a toothache, we're not going to go to a foot doctor to treat us. We're going to go to somebody who knows about teeth. And so the wise men aren't going to stop some Bedouin on the road and say, hey, bud, you know how to get to, you know where this king is? No, they're going to go to Jerusalem and ask the people who know. And when they go and ask, of course, we hear Herod and all of Jerusalem upset because they missed the sign. And so it's almost the job of these wise men to wake up those who should have seen it and say, here it is. And in asking for those directions, they were told to go to Bethlehem. They were told to go to the house of David. And there they will find the descendant of David, born of the Virgin Mary, who is the Messiah. Now here's the other part. They were given the directions. The other part of that wisdom is not only did they ask for directions, they actually followed the directions. Because I've been known to ask for directions and go off any other way. They might live here, they don't know. I know a shortcut, you know, zoom around, end up someplace entirely different. But those roads look parallel to me, it doesn't work that way. I've got lost so many times on this side of town, I need to leave a trail of popcorn sometimes. They all look like they're going in the same direction, but we don't end up in the same spot. But the wise men were wise, they took the advice, they took the directions and they followed it. And where did it lead them? It led them to the answer of all the questions they had. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is life all about? And they weren't brought to a political leader. They weren't brought to an idea. They were brought to a baby child, a boy, who sat on his mother's lap. And in that child, they found their answers. That Jesus Christ has come not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for the non-believers, for the pagans, that he is offering salvation to all people, asking only a simple faith. But from that faith has to come the next point, because once they've asked for the directions and followed them, we notice how the gospel ends. They go home a different way. That encountering this child, Jesus, it changed their view of the world, it changed their view of themselves, their neighbor, and ultimately it probably changed their view of God. So all of a sudden now they're going to worship differently, they're going to pray differently, they're going to serve one another differently, because it's going to be out of this experience of Christ that's going to motivate them and move them into the world. And we see what has happened. That in a short 300 years from the birth of Christ to the time of the Emperor Constantine, the whole world became Christian through the teaching of the apostles, who too experienced the Lord risen from the dead. And so we see these lessons of the wise men are lessons for us. One, to pay attention to what's going on in the world, to recognize we live in reality. And we like to delude ourselves or think our world's a little bit different, you know. I might get up in the morning and think I'm a male supermodel. I look in the mirror, something doesn't quite fit. Most male supermodels don't look this big. But I think I'm thin, you know, until you look. It must be a funhouse mirror I'm looking at. That's all I can think of. But we create our own realities, our own ways of looking at life, our own excuses about why we don't do what we should do and why we do things that we shouldn't. And we find ourselves deluded. We find ourselves lost. And usually we're so lost that we don't think to ask for directions because we think, well, having no direction, I really can't be lost. I'll just bump, you know, bounce around. But to recognize reality, and God shows us reality. He shows us the truth. He puts it smack dab in our laps. Here is the truth. And that truth connects me to all of you and connects you to me. and connects us to our friends, our neighbors, our enemies, to people who haven't seen or heard of Jesus Christ. We are connected to them, and now it's our mission to make that message known. And for that to happen, we need to take that third step. We need to be willing to ask for directions. Every day, you know, we think we just have to ask for directions once. Okay, I have faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a Catholic. I don't need any more directions. Wrong, 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 wrong. Now we really need the directions. And that's why we pray every day. Every day our prayer should be, Lord, direct me today. Show me to love as you want me to love. Show me to serve as you want me to serve. Teach me how to be patient when I should be patient. Teach me to be understanding and compassionate to people who don't deserve it. Give me directions in life, Lord, that I may reach the destination that you have created me for. And our destination is heaven. Those directions are so simple to ask. And he gives us those directions in his word, sacred scripture. He gives us his directions in his church, his body. And he strengthens those directions and gives them form in the sacraments. When we're lost and we're not found, we go to the sacrament of penance. The Lord puts us on the way. When we're sick and weak and turning towards despair, the Lord gives us the sacrament of the sick to strengthen us. When we're seeking strength as we grow up to make the right moral decisions, he gives us confirmation to fill us with those sevenfold gifts to lead us on the way. In this life, he teaches us that we're not to be alone, so he gives you the sacrament of matrimony, to have a companion, to grow in holiness, to make Christ known to each other, to your children, and to the world. And he gives us the holy priesthood and confers upon them the dignity of serving Christ as Christ, to show people the real way, to be able to give honest and sure and certain directions so that you don't get lost. We can tell you how to get to heaven. The road might be hard, you might not like the directions, you might have to go through some parts of your own life that you don't want to do, but we'll tell you how to do it and we'll help you do it. That's what the Lord is offering us. And so on this Feast of the Epiphany, we see so much is given. And he just tells us this, ask for directions. And one thing I've noticed a lot, especially over the past 6 months, is to ask for direction every day through a simple act of devotion. Every day I tell people, if you can take 3 minutes and say one decade of the rosary, 10 Hail Marys and Our Father and the Glory Be, and say, Lord, with this decade, as I meditate on Christ's life, I ask your direction and I offer these simple prayers in honor of Mary, who followed your directions, in honor of the Father, who gave us the ability to come back to him through his Son, and to take that moment and give glory to God in the name of the Holy Trinity. That those three simple types of prayers will shape us and form us and help us follow directions. So let us pray tonight as we receive the body and blood of Christ, that we take the message of the wise men to heart. We pay attention to the world. We know what's going on. We recognize our connections to each other and our duty to care for and support one another. And lastly, we recognize that when all else fails, we ask the Lord for help. We ask him for direction, and he'll give it to us. If we do all those things, we will be seen as wise, not just by those around us, but by God himself, because he'll say, finally, you've gotten with the program.